Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We praise you for your word of truth, your Holy Spirit, who will teach it to us if we are listening and make it a part of our lives, Father, as we live these words out, as we walk with you, bring you honor to your name. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything. All the history of this planet, everything that has been and everything that will be, is all about God. He dominates the grand stage. God is the big picture. Eugene Peterson writes, "First God. God is the subject of life. God is foundational for living. If we don't have a sense of the primacy of God, we will never get it right. Get life right, get our lives right. Not God at the margins, not God as an option, not God on the weekends, God at center and circumference, God first and last, God, God, God," end quote. And often, we do not get it right. A great part of the human experience is to believe that we are at center stage. If everything is okay in my world, then everything is okay. If I'm not happy, if things are not going my way, then something is drastically wrong with this world. It seems an easy thing for a human to forget who God is, even Christians at times. In the theater, a bit player is a person with a very small acting role with just a few lines to speak. We are bit players in God's universe, but sometimes we demand the spotlight, the attention, the focus. We are, after all, very important people. You maybe have heard the expression that history is his story, God's story, the story of God. We will never fit together the pieces of the puzzle of this world. Joy and sadness, failure and success, love and hate, kindness and cruelty, wisdom and foolishness, life and death, until we understand that the crowning moment of everything, all earth history, every person, every event, every circumstance directs us to God in his glory. We will see in our text this morning that Cain didn't realize this. The world he saw through the grid of his darkened mind was a mass of confusion and lies. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who God was. He was a bit player demanding his way with the star of the show. And when God refused, he was so angry that he could murder someone. So he did. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. Genesis 4, 3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. It's desirous for you, but you must rule over it." Cain spoke to his brother to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Lesson one today, and this is not just this text, but an overview. It is God's story, not our story. We're studying through Genesis, and last week we looked at this phrase, in the course of time. And we talked about that, and from the evidence, from the facts that we have, and then the estimations that it looks like that this could have been since the Garden of Eden. It could have been over 100 years. And we mentioned that later in chapter 4, it says Cain, he knew his wife, and he moved to a town called Nod. And we said, well, where did those people come from? And we have, see, God doesn't tell us everything that happened. This is God's story. Have you ever been telling a story, or someone was telling a story, and you start to interrupt, and they say, this is my story. You'll get your turn later. Well, this is God's story. And so we look at the Bible, and the Bible is not a science textbook, but where it speaks to science, it is accurate. The Bible is not a history book, but where it speaks to history, it is accurate. And God did not write the Bible to fill in all of our blanks. It's not our story. And we say, well, why didn't he include this, and why didn't he include that? And why are all these years in between where God didn't say anything? Well, if you would look on your study notes, and this is going to be a little bit of review for the folks in in the Sunday school class from last week. But on the inside it says, God's word was written down with purpose and intent. We have the story of Adam and Eve. We have the story of creation. And again, when I say story, I'm not saying story as in the liberals saying the mythology, the attachment with religion, etc., all that. No, when I say story, I mean the account that God has given us. It is a story. It's a true account. When we have those stories of Adam and Eve, of creation, of Cain and Abel, God has a purpose. He didn't give us all of the information. So when we read in the course of time, and then we're figuring these things out, and we're saying, well, this was over 100 years later. Well, why didn't God fill all that in? This is his story. He wrote for a purpose. Well, if you see on this, in John 20, 30 and 31, it says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We have to, anytime we're looking at Scripture, whether it's in Genesis or all the way back to Revelation, we have to understand who the story is about, and it's about God and his glory. We don't understand it just from our earth-centered perspective. There's a word, it's called egocentric, and that's where I see the world just from where I am. I'm the center of the universe. Humans have that tendency. Cain had that tendency. From his perspective, God was so unfair. Cain was just a bit player. He had a role to fulfill, just as we are. We're bit players. We have roles to fulfill. Now, we will acknowledge that the role that God gives us, if we accept it with humility, what he calls us to be servants, to be slaves of Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful, wonderful part to be able to embrace this role that God has given us to serve him, to stand against the darkness, to speak his word of truth. But we are bit players. God is God and we are not. We don't make demands. That is, God is the one who dictates the action. Cain didn't realize. Cain was a bit player who demanded his way. And he was white hot, we looked at last week, with anger. White hot. Man, was he steamed. He was so angry. He would have killed God if he could have. But he couldn't do that, could he? So he killed his brother. See, he didn't understand who he was. He didn't understand who God was. So we want to look at this story in the context. This is given to us for a purpose. And it breaks down to that purpose, the lessons from that story in the greater context of all of Scripture. It breaks down as simple as the very beginning, when it was so simple. God said, all of this, you're over. I give you the keys to the kingdom, just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was pretty simple, wasn't it? They brought complexity into that in chapter 3. They're the ones, and they reasoned through that. And you'll see some interesting notes in your study sheet on the age of reason. In fact, let me read from that, because we have some of these ideals that we still hold to, even as Christians. When it comes to reason, we don't necessarily attribute it to that, but God has his stated specific purpose. The reason we have the things that we do in Scripture, that we can read them, we can believe God, we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that we can receive eternal life. See, we have to realize why they were written. They weren't written to please us. They weren't written to fill in all our blanks. They were written, and we're going to look at some other reasons too. But the way we value opinion, now there's a man, and some of you I'm sure have heard of him, Thomas Paine, and he wrote a book, The Age of Reason. Now what got my mind going along this thinking is that in Genesis, that's what in, you know what, before we read that, if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, I want us to see how reason from an early stage in history, we'll look at reason coming in and being maybe known formally, you might say, in educational circles that in the 18th century. But it didn't start there. It started in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We've talked about this for a while now, that it wasn't just evil entered into the world. It was now man decides the standard for good and evil. And we'll see how this process, and Eve reasoned through. She had God's direct command, don't eat from that tree, but she reasoned through. And what did she reason? Well, in verse 6, she reasoned that the tree was good for food. She said, I can think for myself. God said, don't eat from that tree, but my reason, my rationality, I can say, hey, that tree is good for food. Now, let me ask you this. Did God ever say the tree wasn't good for food? Of course it was good for food. God made it, and he said it was good, and he said his creation was very good. It wasn't the point. But Eve reasoned. See, when they started stepping away from God's clear instruction, the words clearly on the page. When we step away from that, so Eve reasoned that the tree was good for food. And she reasoned. She said, well, look at that. That is one fine-looking tree. That is a delight to the eyes. Did God ever say the tree wasn't beautiful and the fruit wasn't beautiful and wasn't a delight to the eyes? No. Missed the point. Because instead of listening to God, now if we'll picture this, and you've got finite man in Romans 11 at the end, is it 32, 33? We say, we agree in our minds that God's wisdom is infinite. It's past searching out. His ways are past finding out. And yet we'll say, well, what, God, why don't you show me this in your Bible? Because well, two things. One, we couldn't understand it if he explained it to us. And two, he has specific purposes for his word. For this, let me give you another one here on the study sheet. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, it's the third one down. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Why do we have the story of Cain and Abel? It's an example for our instruction. Now it was specifically in that 1 Corinthians 10 text, the ancient Israelites, but it applies to all of these examples in Scripture. Eve, this was given to us for an example. Okay, but they reasoned through. And so this, my mind got going in on this. It's like, well, the age of reason. And so I had to, I just remember the age of reason from philosophy class and things that you pick up over the years. So I did some investigation. The book, Thomas Paine, The Age of Reason. Let me read, and you've got this. You know, this might be stunning to some of us, and it should be. Because even in Christian circles, we cling to our opinion. Well, let me show you some of the roots of that, not only in Genesis 3, but Thomas Paine, here in this, on the inside, you've got this. It's got the hands reaching for the fruit. It'd be the left side as you have it open. I put the following work under your protection. It contains my opinions upon religion. You will do me justice, the justice to remember that I have always strenuously supported the right of every man to his own opinion, however different that opinion might be to mine. See, this is the secular mind. This is not the mind of Christ. This is not the mind of the believer who is humbled before God in his word. And this has infiltrated the church, and it has for decades. My opinion. Well, what is our opinion based on? Do we have the clear word of God? He says, I supported the right of every man to his own opinion, however different that opinion might be to mine. He who denies another this right makes a slave of himself to his present opinion, because he precludes himself the right of changing it. Listen to this. The most formidable weapon against errors of every kind is the Bible, right? No, it doesn't say that, does it? Is reason. Where did reason come from originally when Adam and Eve took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and ate the fruit? They said, now I can reason. You saw the process starting with Eve before she even took the fruit. She reasoned that it was good for food. She reasoned that it was a delight. She reasoned that, hey, I could eat that and I am going to be wise and I'm going to be like God. And that was partially true. And God acknowledged that in Genesis 3:22. But it wasn't true in the way that Adam and Eve had hoped. It wasn't true in the way that the serpent had promised. Instead, darkness engulfed the land, a great darkness. And we see the same reasoning power in Romans 1. It says, and they, thinking they were wise, they became fools, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is reason. You can read other things. He says in here, things like, I believe in one God and no more. See, he was a theist, or a deist, rather. He was a deist. And we have some of the people, our founding fathers, and we'll say, well, oh, they were deists. They believed in God. Well, you better check out and see what they believed, because they believed mostly what they determined they should believe about God. And they did not bow before God's holy words. And this Thomas Paine, he very opposed to religion. And he says, in further down, he says, my mind is my own church. And you can actually go online and you can get all this online. Just go for Thomas Paine and go for The Age of Reason. You can get every bit of this online for free. My own mind is my own church. The last paragraph here on these notes, what is that we have learned from this pretended thing called revealed religion, which he's speaking of, the Bible, the Word of God, the revelation of God? Nothing that is useful to man, and everything that is dishonorable to his maker. See, he's got this view unattached to Scripture, this honorable view of the maker, because he knows the maker through nature, through creation, natural means, no supernatural means. What is it the Bible teaches us? Rapine, cruelty, and murderer. Now listen to this. What is it the Testament teaches us to believe that the Almighty committed debauchery with a woman engaged to be married? Anybody want to tell me what he's talking about here? The virgin birth. The Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and beginning the birth of Jesus Christ as a man. Committed debauchery with a woman engaged to be married, and the belief of this debauchery is called faith. No, it's not. It's in his world. This is what he wants to believe. And any time that we reason through, and again, the reasoning through and the clear word of Scripture, those are the examples that we see. You either oppose them or you just outright reject them. Back to our Cain story. We don't know what the instructions were to bring a proper sacrifice. But we do know who God is, don't we? We do know his care, his consideration. We do know he speaks very clearly to us. So it wasn't a matter of complexity why Cain's offering was rejected. Cain reasoned that this was good enough. Abel humbled himself before God. We see in the New Testament, Abel was righteous, Cain was evil, his deeds were evil. He was a rebel. He was in it for the gain. But he reasoned, just as we reason, this is good enough. Well, is it God's word, or are we reasoning? In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. See, he was worshiping, and probably had been worshiping for years. Now, we don't know before if it was faithful worship. We don't know if this are the things they were brought to a head, a climax. We don't know those things. And we don't have to know those things. It's back again. We know the things that are necessary to know. I'm going to take us back to this study sheet so we can understand as this will just help us. It's a very useful tool when we understand Scripture, because we're going to continue to go through Genesis or just the Bible, period. And I said it's not necessarily, it's usually not, in fact, chronological unless it states it is, or sequential. He said, well, why did God do that? Well, it's God's book. Don't tell God how to write. He's got specific purposes. See, if it's about God, you understand that, and you say, this is God's book, his purposes. He's writing the book with his intent and purposes in mind. When it's about us, we're saying, well, this ought to be different, but it's not about us. And until that clicks, life will never be right, folks. We can profess Christ, we can halfway do things, but until we realize it's about God and his glory, and when we realize that's the best thing that we can understand and plug into and be a part of. Oh, this is God's story. He'll tell it as it pleases him, and he's got specific reasons. The second one down on this, again on this sheet, John 21:25, there are many other things Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose the whole world would not be big enough for all the books that would be written. You'll see on the opposite page to the left, some things were written so that we may believe. Much more happened than what is written. Some things were written as examples for our instruction. What was written was breathed out by God. What was written is profitable for changing our lives. Can you see God has an intent? God has a purpose in his word. It's not to satisfy our intellectual curiosity. Because the people who are going to doubt God as creator, the people who are going to doubt God as redeemer, the people like Thomas Paine, and there are millions of them who would look on the Old Testament and the New Testament in the way they do, and would even take the story of the virgin birth and try to dirty and sully that, they could have all the facts, it still would not matter, because they are not going to believe God. Now, one day they will believe God. One day everyone will believe God. Because Scripture tells us that one day, every knee, Thomas Paine included, doesn't matter, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But that day, when they finally believe, when they finally see the full reality of God, it will be forever too late. Forever too late. We have to understand God's reasons for his book. He could have included more history. He could have included more of the account, gotten very sophisticated and elaborate in the creation account. He gave us what we need to know. Is he infinite in wisdom? Are his ways past finding out or not? Do we truly believe that? And if we believe that, then how can a person say, stand in defiance and say, well, God didn't explain this? Well, he gave you enough to believe. He gave you enough to believe. The transformation of the written word prepares us to serve God. Some things were written so that we may know we have life, and we're not to go beyond what is written. The next to the bottom, 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's another reason that God wrote, had the holy prophets and had the apostles write the words down. Do we see that? God's purpose. God didn't just kind of throw out some ancient wisdom literature. He had very specific purposes in mind. And everything, the end result of everything, is the honor and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Dave, Where do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you would turn to the other side and you see the people there in the little outline, and let's look at those. History is his story. Now, I'd heard that since I was this tall. Well, maybe I was taller than that, but I've heard it for a long time. Don't you make any comment. I know I'm not much taller than that now, am I? I'd heard it's his story. The Bible, it's his story. Well, it is. History is his story. Isaiah 41:4 on your sheet there. Who has accomplished this? Who has determined the course of history from the beginning? Can you see God's purpose? I, the Lord, was there first, and I will be there to the end. I am the one. Daniel 2:21. He, being God, changes times and periods of history. He removes kings and establishes them. He gives wisdom to those who are wise and knowledge to those who have insight. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now, it's the same verse, but we're going to take a different part. These things happened to make them as an example for others. These things were written down as a warning for us who are living in the closing days of history. It's good to have our perspective, knowing where we are. Ephesians 1:10, he planned to bring all of history to its goal in Christ. When they say history is his story, it's true. Then Christ would be the head of everything in heaven and on earth. And the last one, this was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. This was God's plan for all of history, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. God has a purpose with everything. It started before the foundation of this world, in creation, in salvation, to bring all things to a head. No, we can't understand it all. We couldn't understand it all if he gave it all to us, but we have enough to believe. We have enough to receive life. We have enough to know that we have that life. His word is given to us. If we believe it, if we live it, it'll transform our lives and make us capable of serving him with honor and glory on this earth. These are all things that we know that God gives us purpose, his intent. No, he doesn't tell us everything. He tells us this is the ultimate in need to know. He tells us what we need to know, and if we will listen to him. So let's go back now to our Cain story, and let's ask. In fact, let's go even back to Eve. Were they listening to God? So here are our big lessons. Are we listening to God? In our Sunday school class, we started out saying we need to hear the voice of God. Are we hearing the voice of God? Are we listening to God? You know what they did? They took God's word. They got their Bible out. They didn't have one, but you know what I mean. And Satan came and he said, did God really say? Well, it's pretty clear he did really say it. It was very simple. What did they do? They reasoned. Satan could just as well, and in contemporary times, he could have said, what's your opinion on what God said? What's your take? What do you think God really meant? Well, he really meant, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or in that day you'll die. It wasn't confusing, but they wanted a way out. The rebel nature was beginning. So we'll ask, are we listening to God? You know, Eve was talking. We didn't hear, they didn't record in that when the serpent came in chapter 3. It didn't record anything Adam said. She gave him the fruit and he took and ate it. You know, so we won't make humor of that. It's not funny, but I guess it could be a little bit. But they didn't record Adam saying anything. Eve was talking. The serpent was talking. Now, we know God's omniscient. He's everywhere, so we know. I mean, he's omnipresent, so we know he was there, but they didn't ask God. They didn't ask God to clarify or anything. They didn't need to. They knew he didn't need to clarify because it was so clear. So let's ask the big lesson. Are we listening to God? See, in our text here, then we'll go move up to Cain. Was Cain listening to God? Did God not give him clear instruction? It said, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, that offering was unacceptable. So I think we'd have to say Cain wasn't listening to God. God would have clearly communicated to him. Verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you angry? He said, why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Folks, it's like, are we listening to God? If we do well, if we obey what God tells us, then things are good. Now, does that mean every circumstance in your life is cheery and wonderful? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means, it's his story. Everything is directed, the focus, the intent, the big stage, the big picture is the glory of God and the bit role that he will give us in that if we'll submit to him. So it'll be right with us and our Savior, clean hands, clear conscience, pure hearts. If we do what God tells us, will it not be well? Yes, it will. So are we listening to God? Are we doing what he tells us? If we do what he tells us, it will be well with our souls. And if not, sin will nail you. Sin is, it says here, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. So if you turn a deaf ear to what God is telling you, if you're not listening to him in the first place, just go ahead and swing the door open because sin is ready to pounce. And sin will have you. Really does break down pretty simply, doesn't it? Listen to God and do what's right, or let sin dominate your life. Now, will we, when the person who listens to God faithfully and their heart is turned to God, and we've got Old Testament examples of David and multitude of others, will that person sometimes fail and sin? Yes. And that's when we confess our sin. See, we come back to the Word. We come back to the Word of God. So I'd like to just close this morning. You could see these, you see these types in a movie, and you see they're working in a restaurant, they're washing dishes, they're actors and actresses, and they're waiting for their big break. And our big break came when God so loved the world that he gave his only Son to come to this earth to die on a cross for our sins, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, it's just a small role. We're just a bit player, but it's in God's big game. It's now we're plugged into the glory of God. Can we embrace who it is to be a child of the King, a servant of God Most High, a son or a daughter of God? Can we embrace that role as servant of God Most High? And we don't reason through. We reason through Scripture, but it's always the black and white of Scripture that is our guide. It's always the black and white of Scripture is our guide. And we live those words out. And those words become living in us. We have a vision for life. We see beyond the horizon of this earth. We have spiritual strength. We have uncanny ability to see that when I'm weak, I'm strong. Then when I'm at the end of myself, that his grace is sufficient. How do I know those things? Because I reason through it? No, because I believe what God tells me. And how do I keep faithfully on the path in spite of being a very flawed and weak individual? Because I believe what God has promised he will do in my life through Jesus Christ and continue it to the end. It's a bit role. I'm just a bit player. But it's a pretty good part to be a servant of God Most High, to stand against our only opportunity to stand against the darkness, to stand where everything's going to be all great, can't come back to earth and say, God, I'd like to honor you. I'd like to really show you how much I love you. No, we can't come back to earth. Here we show our love, our undying loyalty. Here is where we have an opportunity to embrace our role as servants of God Most High. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.